This morning, our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 and 12 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came like a sound of a rushing, violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with the new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoking mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of our Lord. This morning, I wanted us to do a little exercise. And not to worry, I'm not going to have you guys get up out of your seats and move around. You can do this exercise from your seats. But this morning, I wanted us to take a couple of seconds to focus on our breathing. And to begin with, I would like for you just to take a couple seconds to notice your breath. Notice if you have shallow breath. Notice if it's choppy, not really free-flowing. Notice if when you're breathing in, if you're just filling your upper chest. When you breathe in, you should be filling your entire torso, your lower abdomen, your mid region, and your upper chest. So I wanted to lead us in a brief breathing exercise. So if I can have you all close your eyes for a couple seconds. And with your eyes closed, just begin to absorb your surroundings. You can hear the birds that surround us. You can hear the leaves that are blowing on the trees. And let us all just breathe in deeply and fill our entire torso. And hold that breath for a couple of seconds and then exhale. And let us just do that same thing again, breathing in deeply, filling our entire torso and then exhaling. You all can open your eyes, but continue breathing like that. You should be breathing like that all the time. But notice the fullness of your breath. Notice how it makes you feel different. It slows you down. It makes you more calm and relaxed. It makes you more connected to your surroundings. It makes you feel good and like you're full of life again. Every time we become conscious of our breathing, every time we take those moments to slow down and to take in those long, deep breaths, we are allowing our souls, our entire being, to reconnect and intertwine with the Spirit of God that is living within each of us. To further explain what I'm describing here, then you have to understand a few things about the Spirit of God. In Hebrew, the word for spirit, wind, or breath of God is ruach. And the ruach, the breath of God, was present from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, the earth was there and it was void. It didn't have form. But the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God breathed across the waters and it formed our planet. In Genesis 2, we hear the story about God creating man out of the dust of the earth. And that Spirit of God breathed into the nostrils of man, the breath, the wind, the ruach of life. In our reading from Ezekiel this morning, it is the same Ruach, the breath of God, that restores this entire desert of dry bones and brings life to them again. And in our New Testament reading from today, it's this mighty rush of wind, which is in fact the same wind, the Spirit, the breath of God that was present in the Old Testament, which sweeps through this upper room where the disciples are huddled together, and it calms them. It is the breath of God which fills the disciples with God's Spirit and brings life to their souls. The Ruach, the wind of God, God's breath and God's Spirit fills all of creation and gives life to every living thing. So every time we breathe in, we are breathing God in. And every time we become more conscious of our breathing and we're taking these long, deep breaths, then we're allowing our souls and our entire being to reconnect and intertwine with God's Spirit within us. Today on this day of Pentecost, we celebrate this wind, this Spirit, God's breath that swept over the waters and created life for all things. We celebrate the fact that we have received the Holy Spirit, and with every breath we take in, we can reconnect with God's Spirit. One of the things that I wanted us to focus on this Pentecost was how easily we can reconnect with the Spirit of God just by simply breathing. And as we do take time to reconnect and allow ourselves to intertwine with God's Spirit, then it fills us with divine life, which then enables us to give divine life. And I wanted us to delve into this idea of giving divine life a little bit further this morning. And in order to do so, I wanted to unpack and go into a little bit more detail about what happened on that first day of Pentecost for those disciples. You see, when this mighty rush of wind swept through the upper room where the disciples were gathered together, it entered a room that was filled with fear and confusion and bewilderment. The disciples had had the wind knocked out of them because of the brutal execution of their teacher just days prior. They were experiencing the shallow breathing of panic as they were huddled in this locked room that was dark. They didn't know where to turn to next. They had no idea what was going to come next, not knowing if their lives were in danger. They were paralyzed with no breath. And then with this rush of wind, God breathed on them, giving them life, which then resulted in that same divine life to come rushing back out of their mouths. That divine life came rushing back out of their mouths as they immediately responded with voices of praise to God. And as they immediately responded by going and telling others around them about the mighty and wonderful things that God had done. They immediately responded to this divine life by speaking life-giving messages to those around them. Barbara Brown Taylor is a New York Times best-selling author, a professor and Episcopal priest, not to mention a huge idol of mine. And in one of her sermons titled The Gospel of the Holy Spirit, she says, "In that room where the disciples were gathered, God's breath performed artificial resuscitation on a room full of well-intentioned bumblers, turning them into a force that changed the history of the world. Shy people became bold, scared people became gutsy, and lost people found a sure direction. Disciples who did not believe themselves capable of tying their own sandals without Jesus discovered abilities within themselves they never knew they had. And when they opened their mouths to speak, they sounded like Jesus." Barbara Brown Taylor's summary of what occurred on that first day of Pentecost is eloquently stated as she describes the transformation the disciples underwent as the breath of God filled them with this divine life and how that divine life freely flowed through them and then back out of their mouths as they spoke and sounded like Jesus. So this morning, I wanted us to think about what it means to sound like Jesus and to contemplate how much power our words have. Scientists have been studying the power of our words for quite some time. In fact, scientists have found that when research subjects hear phrases or statements about elderly, they immediately start walking slower. And in other studies, individuals who read words of loving kindness showed an increase in self-compassion, improved mood, and reduced anxiety. Digging a little deeper, I would like to introduce a concept to you all, which is called the critical positivity theory, or the Lusado ratio. The gentleman that created this theory, Marcial Lusado, studied the power of our words and the impact that our statements or our negative statements have on individuals. And through this study, he determined that for every negative comment that is made, it takes three positive statements to counterbalance the effects of just that one negative statement. So the ratio there is 3 to 1. There are other studies that show it takes 7 positive statements to counteract just one negative statement. So if someone says one negative remark to you, it takes 7 different people or 7 other positive remarks to undo the effects of that negative statement. Other studies have been done on how our words affect our marriages. And those studies show that in a marriage, the ratio of positive to negative comments is 5 to 1. So if a spouse makes a negative remark to their significant other, then it takes 5 positive statements to undo the effects of that one negative remark. That is something to keep in mind. There is power in our words. Our words have power to build up, but they also have the power to tear down. And more specifically, our words have the power to shine forth Jesus in this world, or they have the power to not. So as we go about our days, let us be mindful of the words that we use. Let us be mindful of the statements that we say to others or about others. Let us be mindful of the statements that we make to ourselves. This morning, as we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and what it calls us to do in this world. And what it calls us to do is to give and speak life-giving messages, to have edifying language. It calls us to speak and sound like Jesus in our world. So, brothers and sisters, breathe in and breathe out. Take some time each day to allow your souls and your entire being to reconnect and intertwine with the Spirit of God living within each of us. And as you feel that divine life, as you're filled with zeal and vigor, then let it freely flow through you and out of your mouths as you speak and sound like Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.